We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Hey, great to be with you. And I see so many good familiar faces here this morning, and it's just so good to touch base again with you. Sometimes we get kind of into our various communities and heads down, you know, I do a couple of days a week in pastoral care with Kashmini Life, which I really enjoy. One of my sons, Liam, works there as a youth and young adults pastor as well, which is great. And then some of my time I'm out decorating the world with my paintbrush and roller, which is great. I enjoy that because it puts me in touch with a lot of great people, you know. And that contact with people is really important for me, important for us all, amen, to have that dimension in our lives where we are actually really rubbing shoulders with real people in a real world and that had the same sorts of challenges, struggles, difficulties, highs, joys, celebrations that we do. And sharing in that with them is really, really important. So I appreciate the painting edge of my life at times. Met this lovely guy just recently, and I don't know. We just get talking about stuff, and told him what I was involved with, and he was selling his house, so he had this fizzball table that you know. He said, "Oh, would the church like a fizzball table?" I said, "Yes, the church would love a fizzball table, you know." And the thing about that is that you know when someone's open to you, because they want to give you stuff. Or you know, they want to talk about stuff, you know, with you. People are much more open to us and to the message of Christ than we care to think. I think sometimes, you know, we have this impression that it's us on our lonesome selves against this horrific, you know, landscape of tyranny and difficulty and animosity against the Christian message and against Christ, you know, and we're alone in that, and we better not say anything, otherwise we're going to lose our heads or something like that, or get injured, hurt, or maimed along the way. But do you know what? People are much more open than we realize, because God has not taken himself out of this world and said, "I'll leave it to you." He labors with us, amen? He works with us, and he works in spite of us, and he works through us, and he works around us, and he's in the hearts and lives of people working, amen? When I came, when I wanted to share a message with you this morning, I was thinking, well, you know, Lord, I really want to get a word for St. Martin C3. What's a word, you know? I just don't want to dredge up something that I've preached in the past or you know, or whatever, regurgitate some other person's ideas or thoughts. But I wanted a word for St. Martin's C3. And I got a dream on Monday night. And the Lord quickened the story of the centurion soldier whose faith astonished and amazed Jesus. Isn't that incredible? You know, isn't that incredible? That people can amaze Jesus, you know? We're often hoping that we will be amazed by Jesus, aren't we? but the fact is that some people have this incredible ability through trust in him, through faith towards him, to astonish Jesus, to bring a bit of amazement to the Son of God. How good is that? That's incredible, isn't it? You know. So we do want to have a look at this story this morning, okay? It's in Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13. Look at that, it's on the screen. I see the screen there, and I see the time too. That's really good as well. That's really helpful. Awesome. Okay. we got time. All right, that's good. That's good. So, a theme for this morning, how to get ready for the time of your life. How to get ready for the time of your life. I'm convinced that we all need to look at our calendars again. I'm convinced that we need, you know, our calendars are full of all the important priority events of our lives, the things that we're looking forward to, the things that we've got coming up. But I think sometimes we need to look at our calendars with a new perspective. We need to look at that calendar and say, is there a margin? Is there room for God to direct me into the hearts and lives of others? Can I put a ring around that calendar? And say, well, Lord, you know, what might you What's your agenda? What do you want for my life? What plans have you got? What people feature on the calendar when we have that perspective that God gives us on our calendar? Amen? We get so kind of settled sometimes into a settled faith, and I think that's a bit dangerous for us. But we see in the story of this centurion soldier that he has great faith, amen, and astonishes Jesus. Let's read the story together. What one have you got? You got Matthew one up there, okay. We'll do Matthew first, which is really good. All right. So Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come to heal him? Seems like a strange question, doesn't it? Shall I come to heal him? But, you know, Jews had nothing to do with Gentiles. To go into the house of a Gentile was to make yourself unclean. So Jesus is asking a question, you know, so you want me to come to your house, you know? And the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Wow. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one to go and he goes, and this one to come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, he pointed this out. He said, hey, everyone, stop. Have a look at this. This is important. Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. That's powerful, amen? May the Lord quicken some things out of that scripture today for you and for me. This is what I felt kind of prophetically for St. Martin's C3. You know what? God has people that he is preparing. He is already at work in their hearts and lives. They are people that are open to him. They hear something of Jesus. They get touched by something, by someone from the church, from the community of faith. You know, being defined by faith, hope, and love. Amen? And they begin to think, who is this Jesus, you know? They're open to finding out more, to discovering more about Jesus. You know, there's sometimes people of great influence. The centurion soldier was a person of influence. He helped build a synagogue. He cared for the nation of Israel. That is so unusual. Here he is, a Roman soldier, a centurion, a conquering army, imposing its rule and regulation on a defeated foe. This is countercultural. Something else is going on here. There are so many people in our world that are tired of being colonized by the philosophies of our day, that are tired of being browbent by people pushing their values system upon them. They're tired of the tired philosophies that this world and promises that this world has to offer. And they're starting to look elsewhere. Amen? They're starting to look further afield. They're starting to look towards Christ. Amen? And they're open to him. Isn't that good news? I tell you what, some of the issues that we face in our day are huge. Amen? Some of the challenges are huge. But so are some of the things that the world has esteemed as valuable and good and real are falling apart because they're built on sandy land. Amen? And so God is doing something. God has people set aside that are going to come with the kind of faith that help build the church in St. Martin C3. Are you ready to receive them? Are you open to receive them? Is there a kind of a level of life and faith and hope and joy in us as a community that they would go, wow, this is a great place to be. This is a place where I can begin to express what God has placed in my heart and life. There's people that God is drawing at this time into his kingdom for such a time as this. Can you say amen to that? And so I want to encourage you. You know, there are things that we can do to begin to identify those people, because they're people of influence. And we might think, oh, wow, you know, they're going to be new people. But they're going to be people who have the capacity and ability to astonish Jesus with the level of trust and faith that they place in him. Isn't that awesome? They're going to be people who have a personal connection with Christ that, you know, we go, wow, wow, that's amazing. And we want to be open to seeing how God might use them and how you and I can be a part of releasing them into all that God has for them as people. Amen? So the church can benefit and can really grow and be influenced powerfully by the people that God is preparing to bring in. Amen? I'm excited about that, and I want to give you that as a word. But I think that also we have some responsibilities about that as well. It's so easy to kind of lose valuable things sometimes. Karen, my wife Karen, she works at ARA, and she was coming home from work. She had bags, her computer, all her gear, and she was walking up the street to her car park. And anyway, there was a lady in front of her that was in a jogging outfit, you know, and she just was putting her phone back in her back pocket, and her bank card fell out onto the ground, you know, and Karen, you know, was a little way behind her, saw that, picked up the bank card, and, you know, said to her, you know, yelled out, hey, excuse me. Anyway, this jogger had the earphones. She was jogging with you know, probably something like, I don't know, Jimi Hendrix or something like that, something good like that, you know. I don't know, some music. She couldn't hear her. And Karen was loaded with all these bags and everything like this, with this bank card in her hand. She began to try and stumble and run after this lady, you know. And this and she's yelling, you know, hey, excuse me, you drove your card, you know. This lady is just getting into her stride and speeding up. Karen's got staggering, you know. You know. And so she sees a cleaner. She sees the lady with a broom. And Karen, just in front of the jogger, you know, and Karen yells out. She says, "Stop that woman!" and the cleaner looked at Karen, looked at the jogger, and she had the broom, and she stuck a broom out. And this lady is jogging along. She goes, she looks at the cleaner, you know, and the cleaner says, points to Karen, and you know. You know, meters down the road, and Karen's waving this bank card all amongst all her other baggage like this, you know, and finally the woman clicks, you know, and she's, oh, she says, I don't know where I would have been. That's my whole life in that card. That's my whole life in that card. You know, sometimes we can lose stuff that is very valuable and very precious. Our faith in God, amen, is so, so precious and so valuable. You know, sometimes the elephant in the room in churches is that a lot of us have been Christians for a long time, and sometimes it feels like we've got beaten up a little bit. Things haven't worked out sometimes. We've prayed and our prayers haven't been answered, not in a way that we thought or expected. Our expectations have been hit. We live with sometimes a little bit of a sense of disappointment in God. If we're really honest, we need to be honest about that, amen? Sometimes some things don't work out very well, and it's hard, it's tough. And we have to relook at things. Sometimes it can push us into a place where we just settle. We settle. We're like these Israelites. They believed. We get discouraged when sometimes difficulties seem to push us into a place where we're a little bit gun shy. We're a little bit, you know, once bitten, twice shy. We're, shall we lay hold of those promises of God again, or shall we just mosey on over, carry on? Keep the status quo. we miss sometimes, we can lose something very valuable in that, can't we? Like that woman with the card. Headphones in. Got my agenda, and I'm jogging my way through life. We drop something very precious. I think that God wants to see that level of faith begin to rise in his church again. Amen? I think that he desires that. You know, and he says in 2 Peter 1:15, he says, add to your faith. So it's not just faith, is it? It's add to your faith goodness. It's add to your faith knowledge. Add to your faith perseverance. Add to your faith brotherly love. Add to your faith. Amen? Sometimes I think we've just stopped at faith. But we can add, amen, and we can see that faith begin to grow and develop. We can see that faith begin to have an expression in so many areas of life. And that has a kind of a rejuvenating effect, a restoring effect. We see the level of life, the level of faith begin to rise in our lives personally. We haven't just got a legal relationship with God, have we? We just haven't got something that is, yep, Jesus died on the cross, our sins forgiven, and when we die, we're going to go to heaven. No, we have this personal relationship with Jesus, amen? The Son of God. And this centurion soldier began to experience something in his life that possibly he'd been looking for all his life. And when he thought he was going to Palestine, to Israel, do you think he thought, well, this is going to be a big change in my life? I bet you he didn't. But when he got there, something began to change. He began to touch base with reality. Amen? He began to touch base with the Son of God. He began in a time when God began to move in such a powerful, powerful way. Amen? For the first time in his life, he began to get real and find out what reality was like. Isn't that awesome? I love this Winky Prattney quote. He said, revival is what happens when God gets sick of being misrepresented by people who claim they know him, that he shows up in person to kick butt and take names. When God shows up, you finally become real. You lose your self-centeredness. That's powerful, amen? That's powerful. You know, we don't become, the thing is that you can have the knowledge of Jesus and yet become barren and unfruitful in that knowledge. That's why he says, add to your faith goodness. That's why he says, add to your faith knowledge. That's why he says, add to your faith brotherly love, kindness. Because none of us want to. We certainly want to run away from that one, amen? We don't want to be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to be absolutely fruitful. You know, our world pushes us to be consumers. Our world disciples us to be consumers. But Jesus disciples us to become producers. Amen? That's so countercultural today, isn't it? But you and I have been called to become producers, to become fruitful, to actually, you know, to produce something good in our relationships and with the church of God. So, we got to press on. Amen? The one thing that is that we can be contented with is just get contented with material things. Don't, you know, get that out the way early, amen? But never become contented spiritually because we've never arrived. Amen? Paul said it, didn't he? He said, I press on. You know, I want to apprehend that which I have been apprehended for. Therefore, you know, I count all things but loss, save for the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I press on. I keep moving. I haven't arrived yet. I still want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for whom I've gladly suffered the loss of all things and count them as nothing, save for the priceless knowledge of him who loved me and gave himself for me. Awesome. Amen? So you know, it's about letting that discontented spiritually come alive in our hearts. We sang that song this morning about that hunger for God. Amen? And I believe that's something that God wants to increase in our lives. So you will melt the chill of the pervading spiritual environment and help build a climate where a strong sense of what it means to experience a personal relationship with God determines the culture and mission of your church here in St. Martin's. Amen? Press on. You know, I was thinking, how can I leave something in your heart where you start to think about that those centurions in our communities, and the people that you meet, you know? And you know what came to me? You're going to probably think I'm crazy, but you know, what came to me was a Sesame Street song. You know the one I'm talking about, don't you? You haven't watched Sesame Street for a while? Oh, I highly recommend it. You'll know this. You'll know this song. Who's thinking about the song already? Yeah, Mark. That's good, Mark. Yeah, yeah. You're strange like me. He's nodding in agreement. A centurion is a person in your neighborhood. In your neighborhood. In your neighborhood. Yes, a centurion is a person in your neighborhood. They're the persons in your street that sometimes you meet every day. I can't remember how the thing goes. It's been a wee while since I listened to that. But you know what I mean? A centurion is a person in your neighborhood. They're there. They're there. They're there. God, give us eyes to see them. Amen? Give us hearts to reach out to them. You know, a friend of mine from football recently fell 6 meters out of a tree. And you know, that it, you know, he was pruning it. It was not a good thing. I went and saw him in hospital, and I said to him, can I pray for you, you know? And he allowed me to do that, which was really, really great, you know. And I thought, wow, this is he was seriously, seriously injured. He had to have an operation. He broke his back. He broke ribs. You know, he was pretty bad. But he was alive, you know. I thank the Lord for that. He's a good guy, and we had some great conversations with him over the years. I went to hospital, and I said, can I pray with you? He said, yep, prayed for him. And then I visited him over at his house over at Diamond Harbor, and I met his wife. And I thought, wow, got talking to her. She said, yeah, I've studied psychology. I said, oh, that's great. You know, so what did you study, psychology? She said, well, I wanted to help people, she said. So, you know, I help out with Lifeline. I thought, a centurion is a person in your neighborhood, because they care. This centurion had a servant who was ill, a servant. Servants in those ways were less worth less than chattels. Just get another servant. You know, there's a weakness in my household. Out, get another one in. This guy cared for his servant. Amen? That's different. That's countercultural. When you see the capacity to care in people's hearts and lives, take notice of that, amen? Could be a centurion. I want to encourage you this morning. You know, we serve an awesome God, do we not? And I want to quote to you from a guy that I really enjoy. He's hard to read sometimes, but he's awesome. His name is Blaise Pascal. Anyone heard of him? He was an amazing philosopher, mathematician, inventor. He invented the calculator. His father was a tax collector, and he was getting older and finding it more difficult to collect the taxes. So Blaise comes up with a calculator. Isn't that awesome? You'll notice his language, the Pascal language on the computer, is named after him. This guy is like super intelligent, you know. But anyway, he said this, Blaise Pascal: the God of the Christians is not a God who is simply the author of mathematical truths, or of the order of the elements. This is the view of the heathens and the Epicureans. He is not merely a God who exercises his providence over the lives and fortunes of men to bestow on those who worship him a long and happy life. That was the portion of the Jews. But the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the Christians, is the God of love and comfort, a God who fills the soul and the heart of those he possesses, a God who makes them conscious of their inward wretchedness. Yeah, I sat on that one for a while too. But wait, and his infinite mercy. Oh, I love that. his infinite mercy. Now I've lost my place. Who unites himself with their innermost soul, who fills it with humility and joy, with confidence and love, who renders them incapable of any other end but himself. All who seek God without Jesus Christ and who rest in nature either find no light to satisfy them or come to form for themselves a means of knowing God and serving him without a mediator. Thereby they fall either into atheism or deism, two things which the Christian religion abhors almost equally. Wow, that's quite powerful, isn't it? Jesus is the central part of the scriptures, amen? Jesus is the one that makes the difference. Jesus is the one who is the final authority on all things pertaining to faith and life and eternity. Amen? Jesus is awesome. Right from the moment he was born, you know, the angels came and said, his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. His teachings, his teaching is amazing. It's an expression of his authority. You've heard it said of old, but I say unto you, he said. That's amazing, isn't it? You've heard it said of old. And he interpreted the law with such beauty, wholesome truth, reality, that people went, wow, who is this? He doesn't teach like the Pharisees and Sadducees. This man has authority. Even the demons listened to him. Even the demons obeyed him. Oh, we recognize you, to the man of Gadarenes, you know, full of demons. He said, we recognize you, Jesus of Nazareth. Please, don't send us, you know. They recognized his authority, his miracles, every miracle he did. Sure, it was a kindness, it was a blessing, it was a benefit to the person being restored. But more than that, those miracles were a sign, were an expression of that the one who has final authority had finally come, the one who everyone needs to seek has come. Here he is. His miracles were a sign, an evidence, a proclamation of who he really was. His death and resurrection, his claims, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Incredible claims. Claims of his incredible authority. God wants to restore a sense of authority back into the lives of his church, amen? Back into the lives of his people. You know what? People get excited about 5G. I don't get excited about 5G. A holographic image of my wife, that would just be scary. What I do get excited about is Jesus, the Son of God, saying, you know, he doesn't even have to lay hands on anyone. He didn't have to go and see a sick person. He just has to speak a word. That's exciting, is it not? You know, sometimes we've lost our amazement. We've lost our sense of wonder about Jesus. We've got to get it back, amen? We've got to look again at the Gospels. We've got to look at Jesus again and see how exciting it is to be around him, amen? It is exciting to be around him. And Jesus is wanting to begin to bring a sense of his authority back into the life of his church, amen? You know, I remember hearing a story about a policeman. And, you know, here he is in this lonesome town, and this truck driver and a massive Big Mac truck is speeding through the town, breaking the speeding limit. And this one lonely policeman, the only one for miles and miles around in this small town, steps out into the middle of the road in front of this Big Mac truck and puts his hand up. Stop. You know, and you can imagine that big, angry Big Mac truck driver, you know, looking down at that little policeman, you know, one policeman. That's all he is, just one little policeman dressed in his uniform and hat with his hand up saying, stop. Why does the Big Mac truck driver stop? Authority. Authority. Powerful, isn't it? He knows that one policeman in that uniform represents all the powers of that state. Amen? That truck driver recognizes that. I tell you what, there are principalities and there are powers, there are demons, there is an enemy of mankind, and Jesus defeated him in his resurrection, amen, from the dead. He it is that holds true authority. All authority and all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Amen? How powerful is that, you know? We need to live a little bit more in that authority, amen? Just like that truck driver recognized as that authority. Just like that centurion recognized that Jesus was a man under authority. I too am a man under authority. I love his humility. I love the centurion's humility. I too am, he didn't say, I too have authority. He said, I'm a man under authority. And people under me, I ask them to do things and they do it. He recognized that beautiful dimension of authority. Amen. Jesus wants us to come back into that place of surrender to his authority. Amen. But he also wants us to come back in with real humility. Humility is not thinking less or nothing of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Isn't that beautiful? That quote from Winky Prattney, you know, we lose our sense of self-centeredness. I think that's one of the things that is a major player that robs us, that somehow creates the situation where we just lose value. We lose something. Creating margin. Creating a margin. Risk. Do we have a heart for a little bit of risk? Or do we want to play it conservative? Each day, I've got a red ring around the day in my calendar. And on it, I've got, who has God prepared for me to meet today? Who has God prepared for me to meet today? You know, I think that's a really good thing, a good challenge for us, amen? It's a great challenge for us to begin to resist the status quo in our lives. To not be held to ransom by our calendars and our events and our plans, but to allow God and his grace to work in our hearts in such a way as to create margin where we can begin to look at our calendars in a new way and say, Lord, I'm available for you. Because our churches can be places where centurions can come and say, wow, there's life here, there's faith here, there's hope here, there's a dimension of reality here that I can taste and see. Amen? Not just doing church, but being a church that is vitally connected in personal relationship to Jesus, who is the one who is the final authority on all things. Amen? He is so exciting to be around, and I want to encourage you to keep pressing in to him. Let St. Martin's C3, let all churches in Christchurch be places that have a vital connection with the Lord of glory, that are full of his life, full of faith, full of hope, full of the expression and representation that he so richly deserves. Amen? He doesn't compel us, but he gives us the freedom to choose. Amen? That's what I love about Jesus. I was thinking about that the other day. You know, I don't follow him by compulsion. I don't feel a compulsion to follow him. And as soon as I lose the feeling of not having to, I find within my heart the grace and freedom to go, I want to. Isn't that true? Has anyone else experienced that? That's a beautiful place to live. I think sometimes we respond out of guilt, or we respond out of what we ought to do. We respond out of what we should do. There's a freedom when we come to that place where we say, I want to. I want to, Lord. I want to follow you. I want to be available to you. I want to. I want to make my day available to you. Who is it that you have for me today, Lord? What are your plans? What's on your heart? How can I be involved with that today? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.